Ah, church. I'm excited about tonight. I believe the Lord has got a word for us. And the first thing I feel like saying is, you know, we don't have to pursue the presence of God tonight because God has already pursued us. Amen. And He has found us. And He has found us here. So right now, we just acknowledge that the presence of God is here. Presence of God is here. So rather than pursuing your presence because you're already here, tonight I just feel the prayer on my heart, Lord, is that we be captivated by your presence. Captivated by your presence. That we be fascinated by your presence. Lord, that we be mesmerized in your presence tonight. That we stand in awe, stand amazed in your presence. You know, as I speak this, there's some people in the room who feel, right now, you feel the tangible presence of God, and that's fantastic. You know, there's also some people in the room right now that when I'm speaking about the presence of God, if you were honest, you actually don't feel the presence of God. And can I just say, that's okay. That's okay. Because God declares that He is here, amen? And we know that God is not a liar. So if God says that He is here, I just believe it. So I just want to release off any pressure off anyone tonight. If you don't feel the presence of God, maybe you can just pray a simple prayer like this under your breath. Lord, I know you're here, and I'm hungry to connect with you tonight. Amen. Presence of God. Church, I've been reading a great book. In fact, it's a series of books. And I must say, I have to thank Pastor Rob for this because a couple of years ago, Pastor Rob introduced me to this author, a guy by the name of Con Eagledon. I think his last name, funny last name. And Con is, well, he's a couple of things. He's a historian and he's also an author. And what he does is he's taken these amazing, famous characters from history, and he writes their story. And what he does is he lines up all the historical facts that we know about this person. And when there's a gap between the facts, he weaves this amazing story through this person's life. So it really brings these people to life. Now, I was never a history buff in school. I never studied history. I got rid of it as soon as I could. But I'm amazed at these books. So a couple of years ago, I read about the life of Genghis Khan and the Mongolian Empire. And this guy, my goodness, talk about a dynamic leader, one of the most dynamic leaders this world will ever see. And he wrote this story, the historical facts, and he wove it through. It's a fascinating read about Genghis Khan. Right now, I've currently been reading for the last maybe few months this series on Julius Caesar and the Roman Empire. And my goodness, that is a good read. If you want to check it out, go and check it out. And as I was reading through this the other day about the Roman Empire and about Julius Caesar and his rise to fame, I was reminded by a word and then a biblical principle that goes with that word. And this word, when I was reading through the other day, is this word apostolos. Apostolos, which means one who is sent out on a mission. And it's where we get our English word apostle. We've all heard of that apostle. And this word apostolos actually is a Roman military word. So the background to this is when the Roman army went out and they conquered a city, once they conquered it, they'd also send out an apostle who was basically like an architect, a pioneer. And it was his job to go into that newly claimed city. And he needed to make that new city look like Rome. He needed to make that new city feel like Rome, to taste like Rome, to smell like Rome, for the culture of that new city to replicate Rome. That was his job, and they did that very successfully. And the reason for that was that if the emperor of Rome ever wanted to visit that new city, he would come and he would just feel at home because it was like Rome. And it got me thinking about this. And again, Pastor Rob touched on this a couple of weeks ago. I was thinking about this the other day. And you know, our assignment here, my assignment, your assignment here on earth is not just to wait around and one day go to heaven. The scripture says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So it got me thinking that my assignment, our assignment, is actually to model heaven and to bring that to earth. Our assignment is to model heaven and bring that to earth. So how do you do that, Jacob? It's a good question. There's probably many ways that we can model heaven and bring that to earth. But I've just been meditating on one way, and I just want to go into this tonight. One way I believe that we can model heaven is to model a language of heaven. To model a language of heaven, and that language we're going to talk about tonight is the language of praise. Praise. It's a language of heaven. I was reading through Revelation this week, and I love the insight we get into here. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, we see these four living creatures who are circling the throne. And it says, day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Isn't that amazing? They're these creatures who never stop saying day and night. So basically that says to me that 24/7, there's a sound of praise going on in heaven. Now, I don't know if you're like me. Do you ever just try and stop and you take the Bible and you kind of put yourself right there? Just imagine what that would look like. Just imagine what that would sound like. This language of heaven going on right now as we sit here tonight, right now. Praise, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I think that this praise would be loud. I think it would be passionate. I think if we could just kind of attune our ears to that tonight, it would be inspiring. Whoa, praise going on in heaven right now. It's a language of heaven. One of my favorite verses and favorite promises in the Bible comes from Psalm chapter 22 and verse 3. Many of you will know this, and I love the King James Version. It says, God inhabits the praises of Israel. Or God inhabits the praises of his people. To inhabit something means to live in it or to occupy it. So basically this scripture says that God lives in the praises of his people. That's awesome. I can't understand it. I can't explain it to you fully. We're not going to understand it all this side of eternity. But one thing I do know is that God loves praise. Why? Because he's surrounded by praise 24/7. It's a language of heaven. Praise. Now, praise is in heaven, and we are called to model heaven and bring it to earth, like we've just discussed. So when we model what's occurring in heaven 24/7, praising God, we are like the apostle going out to this Roman town, and we are going out in the front, making the land familiar for when the emperor comes. So my prayer, Lord, is that this house, that our lives would be so familiar for you when you come, because we just live lives of praise, praise, praise. We're modeling heaven and bringing it to earth. Are you with me? Praise. I really think praise is one of the greatest weapons every one of us possesses in our artillery. It is so powerful, praise. You know, sometimes I think, sometimes in the Western church, in the English church, sometimes it's hard for us to fully understand praise because we've got one word for praise in English, and that is praise. But in the Hebrew language, they've actually got seven different words for praise. So they automatically have a more holistic understanding of what praise is. And in my life right now, I'm just asking God, Lord, just uncover more and more and more and more layers of the power of praise. There is so much, I'm convinced, as you can probably tell, I'm convinced that there is so much power that is locked up in, I'm fascinated by praise. Fascinated by praise. You know, we read about praise all through the Bible, especially in the Psalms. You love the Psalms. Psalm 100, you'll know this. You enter the gates with thanksgiving. That's the first thing to get into his presence. Thankfulness, thanksgiving in our hearts. But if we want to go a little bit deeper into the inner courts, we lift up our praise. Why? Because our praise reminds God of heaven, and there he is. He inhabits our praise. But can I be honest with you, church? A few years ago, I was actually intimidated by praise. And maybe some of you here tonight are where I was a number of years ago. And I want to be honest with you tonight. I was intimidated by praise. I think looking back, it was mainly because I didn't actually understand what praise really was. I thought praise was just a bunch of people getting together, shouting and going crazy. And I thought that's all there was to praise. And it didn't really appeal to me because I'm actually an introvert. Any introverts in the house? I know it's hard for you to raise your hand because you're an introvert, but come on, we can do this. The introverts, the rising of the introvert. I'm an introvert. I love just getting away from everything, spending time with myself, time in my own head. My head's crazy, but I love it. Spending time. I'm an introvert. I'd much prefer to listen than I would to speak. You learn so much more when you listen, don't you, rather than speak? Maybe that's a word for someone, I don't know. But I'm an introvert. It's funny though, because people see me, you know, standing on the platform, speaking, singing, and oh, he must be an extrovert. But no, this is me exercising a gift on my life, but I'm an introvert. I really am an introvert. And for me, with this whole area of praise, it was so out of character, for me to just start going crazy and jumping around and praising God because I hid behind this thing called, oh, I'm an introvert, I don't do that. And I must say, it was over a process of time. It didn't happen like that. Over a process of time, God has been so good to me, so gracious to me. He's just slowly just revealed these different layers of the depth and the power of praise. And over a process of time, I begin to understand a little bit about praise. You see, maybe this will help you tonight. The praise is not just about shouting to God. You see, praise does have a vocal element to it. But praise also has a physical element to it. You know, when we stand in praise and we lift up our hands like this, lifting them to the heavens, that is actually a physical form of praise. So when you're standing there doing this, you're actually praising your God physically. You know, the musos up here tonight, what they were doing when they're playing the guitar, playing the keyboard, that is a form of praise as well. There's this Hebrew word called zomar, and it means to pluck strings or play musical instruments. A great example of this in the Bible, this form of praise, when King Saul is being tormented by these evil spirits, he calls David, you know, little David, he comes and brings his harp and says as soon as he starts to play the harp, the evil spirits fled. Why? Because he was lifting up praise through the instruments. So that's a form of praise. But as I said, there definitely is a vocal element of praise. And for me in my life, I had to break through this. For me to just let go, let loose, and start to praise my God vocally, I had to break through that. And maybe I'm just sensing, maybe someone is going to just get the sort of the lights turned on, if you will, and start to break through this in your own life. Because when you break through this, the vocal aspect of praise, wow, power from on high is going to fill your life. There's this word, Hebrew word, it's shabak, and it means to triumph, to glory, and to shout adoration in a loud voice. So I had to go beyond my personality. I had to go beyond my comfort zone. I had to shout in adoration to Him. It was difficult for me, but one day I just did it. And I haven't looked back ever since. And let me just go a little bit further with that. In Joshua chapter 6, I'm pretty sure it is in the Bible, we read this story about the walls of Jericho. You might know this, the walls of Jericho come down. And I just sense maybe tonight that you have got a wall in your life that needs to come down. Maybe that wall is addiction. Maybe that wall is disappointment. Disappointment. I'm disappointed. It's a wall that you've erected in your life. I'm living in disappointment. Maybe it's a low sense of self. Whatever this is, this wall that we've created. You know the story. The Israelites are walking around Jericho, this wall, for 6 days. They're walking around, marching around. Then on the seventh day, they walk around it seven times. And on that seventh time, as they walk around this wall, there's a trumpet blast that goes out. And the scripture says, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. I'm going to read it. Let me find this for you. Joshua 6. There's some power in here, church. Joshua 6, verse 16. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Shout, unleash the power of praise against that wall. Maybe tonight you have to shout, for the Lord has given you your freedom. Maybe spiritually, you hear the trumpet blast. You look at this wall and you're like, man, that's enough. I've had enough of this wall. And you're starting on the inside, you spiritually hear this trumpet blast going out and you say, and you shout, for the Lord has given you your desire. Breaking through with the power of praise. Again, put yourself into this situation. This is phenomenal. There's an army surrounding the walls of Jericho. The scholars reckon, I think, up to around 40,000 soldiers around this wall. It says in the scripture, there's seven priests and they've got these big ram horn trumpets. So they blast this sound, this trumpet sound. And at that, Joshua commands the people, shout, praise, praise, praise your God. And the walls come down, the city is yours. Maybe someone can hear that trumpet sound. It's time to shout. It's time to unlock this power of praise in your life. Praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I think we're moving right now to create a time where all of us can just stand for a moment in the presence of God, stand in awe of His majesty and His splendor. And I feel to do it a little differently tonight, but we are going to have an opportunity to respond to God. I'm not just going to talk at you all night, but I'd love us to just get comfortable in His presence right now. And we're going to do it a little bit differently, but I'm going to give you 10 seconds in a moment. We're going to play a song of praise. And if you want to sit in your seat, if you're comfortable doing that, that's great. I just want you to get comfortable in the presence of God. I believe tonight that we can all sit, lie down, stand, kneel, whatever, in the presence of God and just be awed at His greatness and His goodness. And He's just so good. So can I give you 10 seconds? If you want to come and lie down, you want to sit somewhere else, you want to walk around, you want to stand, you want to kneel, can I just give you a moment just to do that right now? And we're going to look at this song. Presence of God. Presence of God. Before we play this song, it's a song that many of us will know. And the problem with that is sometimes you get familiarity with the lyrics. And these lyrics have got so much power that we're going to unlock tonight. So we're just going to spend a little bit of time meditating on these lyrics. And they're going to go beyond, oh yeah, just that song that we know, to, Lord, touch my life afresh tonight through the power of this and the power of these lyrics. So how about we just all close our eyes right now? Lord, I just pray that You connect with every person. I pray that any distraction or interruption cease right now in the name of Jesus. And church, I encourage you, whatever way you know how to do, just try and fix your eyes on Jesus right now. Verse 1 in this song starts by saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy, holy is He." That Lamb is Jesus. Let's focus on Him. And once you've focused on Him, thank Him for one thing that He has done in your life this week. Thank Jesus. We sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Now that you thank Jesus, I just want you to picture him sitting on a seat. And this seat is made out of pure gold. It is stunning. Maybe you can look at this seat, look at the detail that's gone into this seat. Of course, in the Old Testament, mercy seat is the lid on top of the Ark of the Covenant. I like to see it now, though, as a seat of grace. Look at Jesus sitting on that seat. He has complete power and authority to forgive all of your sins. Maybe you see him with a smile upon his face as he looks towards you. Maybe you can smile back, knowing that you're in right relationship with him. Verse 2 says, clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. It reminds me of a scripture in Revelation. The Message Bible puts it like this: I was caught up at once in deep worship, and wow, a throne set in heaven with the One seated on the throne, suffused in gem hues of amber and flames with a nimbus of emerald. 24 thrones circled the throne, with 24 elders seated, white-robed, gold-crowned. Lightning flash and thunder crash pulsed from the throne. The chorus says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Church, Jesus is the beginning. He is the present. And he is the future. All things are from him. All things are for him. He is the Almighty, the Eternal, the Unchanging One. With all creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Sing praise. Maybe picture yourself joining with all your brothers and sisters in Christ, praising Jesus. What does that look like? A sea of saints. Can you hear the sound? The sound of praise. And we take it a step further. We join with all creation. So now add to that picture the clouds in the sky, the trees in the forest, the ocean, the waves, doing everything they can to praise their Creator. Praise. And then verse 3 finishes by saying, filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath, and living water. Such a marvelous mystery. Right now, I speak the name of Jesus over every person sitting here and over everyone tuned in online. I speak the power of Jesus over you. I speak the breath of Jesus into you. I speak the living water of Jesus through you. Thank you, Lord. So, church, now that we've read through these lyrics and we've gone a little deeper, in a moment I'm going to get Ian to play this song. And I'd love us to make the most of this opportunity to either sit, stand, kneel, whatever you'd like to do, and just be amazed, just be awed once again, a fresh revelation tonight of just how amazing, how powerful, how majestic, how holy our God is. Lord, I thank you for giving us a glimpse of your holiness. Lord, allow us to live lives of amazement, of wonder, of mystery, of the realm that you live in, heaven. And Lord, allow us to do what's in our power to model heaven on earth. Lord, help us to foster lives of praise. So it allows you to inhabit our praises and our lives. I thank you, Lord, for touching us tonight. I thank you that your realm, heaven, has invaded ours tonight. I thank you that the supernatural is all around the natural here. And Lord, I thank you that it doesn't start and end here. Lord, I thank you we are to live lives like this in the marketplace. So Lord, I thank you for your anointing on every single one of us to be the gospel, to be your hands and feet Monday morning, in our workplaces, in our universities, in our families, everywhere we go, your light and your love. Lord, help us to take what we've received tonight and to freely give it to everyone we come across in our week this week. We just seal everything you've done in us and through us in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.